Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll talk with Mark Stofa and Peter Baker about this weekend's storytelling event showcasing tales about Sierra Leone. Don Colden will be here to highlight the Floyd Dryden performance of Shakespeare's As You Like It. Steve Kosas will tell us about the planetarium program tonight. We'll get the details about Gastineau Elementary's Service Learning Club concert on Thursday, and we'll learn about the UAS Juried Art Show. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. A federal jury has sided with Rapid City Regional Health in a civil case alleging that hospital employees were racially discriminatory in their treatment of a Native heart patient. Vernon Traversy, a member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe who is also legally blind, alleged that someone at the Rapid City South Dakota Hospital carved the letters KKK onto his abdomen, handled him roughly, refused him pain medication, and didn't prepare him adequately for aftercare. Reporter Victoria Wicks has followed the case since the allegations emerged and reports from Rapid City.
Vernon Traversy had surgery in August 2011. Shortly afterward, the legally blind patient returned to Eagle Butte, where friends told him his torso was covered with abrasions and incisions, including three that appeared to be the letter K. The Baptist minister at his church, Ben Farah, testified that he was the one who identified the three Ks and that Traversy's abdomen looked as if it had been attacked by a jungle cat. But medical experts testified that the incisions were necessary in open-heart surgery, and the abrasions resulted from Traversy's reaction to medical-grade tape. The jury found in favor of Regional Health on four issues that included civil rights violations, battery, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Traversy's attorney, Anthony Broadman, says his client got a fair shake.
I want to be clear, this was a fair jury. We don't have any problems about the jury that Mr. Traversy got.
But Broadman says during jury selection, he learned that Rapid City has far to go in its struggle to shake off its racist reputation.
People identified that they were too prejudiced against Native Americans to be fair in this case. Now, I don't know whether that was because they didn't want to serve on the jury or because they truly harbored those feelings, but it was sickening to me. Personally, to hear that.
He says those jurors were excused. Vernon Traversy did not speak with reporters after the trial, but his attorney says Traversy benefited from the public airing of his complaint. Also not giving interviews after trial were defendants' attorneys, but they issued a written statement that Regional Health has a long history of serving the community well. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
A new report finds Indian gaming grew in 2013, but less than a percent. That number trails growth reported over the previous 2 years. Reporter Mallory Black has more.
The slow growth of Indian gaming can be blamed on competition, market maturity, and a sluggish economy. That's according to economist Alan Meister, author of the latest Indian gaming industry report. Meister says the industry slowdown began well before the Great Recession.
Over the years, what I've noticed that it caused some of this slowdown has been restriction of supply of gaming.
Meister says limits on the number of machines or type of gaming allowed in certain states has created challenges for tribes trying to keep up with demand. He says instead, many tribes have invested in non-gaming amenities to draw patrons back to casinos for more of a resort experience. Meanwhile, California's gaming tribes continue to dominate the industry, accounting for a quarter of total revenues at $7 billion. California reported modest revenue growth at 0.5% in 2013, but Meister says that's still good news for tribal members working in the industry.
It's valuable to know that the casinos are there, they're viable, they're doing well, and they have plans to keep on developing more. And so people can, I think, maybe feel reassured that, you know, Indian gaming is still thriving.
Nationwide, Meister says there's good room for growth in Indian gaming as the economy recovers. For National Native News, I'm Mallory Black.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Science, technology, engineering, and math students thrive at New Mexico Tech. Personalized instruction, rigorous curricula, undergrad research opportunities. New Mexico Tech, where the smart kids go. Info in Winds of Change magazine or visit nmt.edu.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the Gathering of Nations to the UNM Pitt April 24th. Information on services and the Gathering of Nations at ahcnm.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Support for programming is brought to you in part by the Gold Belt Hotel in Juneau, offering renovated rooms, on-site dining, airport transportation, and Alaska Native art. More information at goldbelthotel.com.
And you're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. I've been joined in the studio by Peter Baker and Mark Stoffa. Welcome, Peter and Mark.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming in today. So you're doing sort of a unique storytelling event tonight, but it's inspired by mudrooms and some other things. Mark, why don't you tell us how this came to be?
Well, I told a story at mudrooms about my return to Sierra Leone when I went back in 2013 after being away from there for 25 years back to when I was in the Peace Corps. And just my story was about the family I had there and their sort of 20-year trek running from the Civil War and then trying to get back to our village. And when I got back here in July, not too long after the Ebola outbreak started in Guinea, and in December I lost two of the guys I went back there to see, and another one of their brothers had died. And I was able to quickly, I mean, we're supporting those families and things now, but a few weeks later, my wife said there was a kid at school from, she's a teacher, she said there was a kid at school that's from Sierra Leone, and I contacted her father, and he told me there were three other men here in town also from Sierra Leone that I had no idea. So I started having them come over for breakfast, and then I heard some real stories about people who lived through the Civil War and their funny stories about coming to the States, and I thought it would be good right now with Ebola that's still things are still bad there. It's still spreading in Sierra Leone, but you hardly hear it in the news now. To have a sort of a storytelling event about it. And of course we would have liked to have done it at mudrooms or done it something like that, but things are all filled for the year. So they're sort of helping us do our own.
Okay. Peter, you've been in the States for about 6 years. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Specifically in Juneau.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I come from Sierra Leone, West Africa, and the southern part of Sierra Leone is what they call Bont Island, which is very much similar to Alaska, so it's okay. Like home away from home. But we live very close to the Atlantic Ocean, and most of the occupation of the people there is fishing, which is very similar to what I'm experiencing here in Juneau. So over the years, went through high school education, went to college, and our English out there is a British English, which we speak out there, because we are colonized by the British. So the official language there is English. So after that, and the Civil War came when I was in high school, and that was really much devastating. I experienced a very, very traumatic experience with my friend going to holidays. We encountered the rebels, and my friend, who was a military guy, the rebels were able to identify him. And two of us were taken to their headquarters, and he was slaughtered right in front of me, which is very much an issue I don't normally like to talk about. Anyway, going through that, I have to go back to the city and went through my school, and it has been pitting me over these years. But to any situation, you got to be strong and move on. So I was able to go to college and finish my college, my bachelor's in political science and history, and started working as a high school teacher. And my uncle, who has been here in Alaska, when I got the opportunity to come to the state, he asked me to come and join him in Alaska. And I said, Uncle, Alaska is very cold. Because fortunately, I did some amount of history in Sierra Leone in my college years, and I was able to know about the Alaska Apaches. I have to know about a lot of things about the world. So he persuaded me, and finally I came to Alaska. And coming to Alaska was a very big challenge because of the climatic weather and the English, as I rightly said. And I started working at Costco, and I ran into this lady, I now call her mom, Barbara Bonnet. She was from the Chapel by the Lake. She went to Senegal by Sunday by her church. When she came back, a week after, she ran into me at Costco, and we exchanged few pleasantries. She went back to church the other day, and she was asked to give testimony about her trip in Senegal. And she mentioned my name in church. Say, hey, there's this guy from Sierra Leone. He's at Costco, so if you meet him, say hi to him. And all of a sudden, everybody started coming, are you Peter from Sierra Leone? I said, how do you know me? I said, Barbara told us about you in church. So that was how people started knowing me. And I ran into Jim Brown. He also had a story from somebody that went to Chapel by the Lake that there's a guy from Sierra Leone. And Jim Brown, you know, Mike knows him very well. He has been in Sierra Leone. He met me, invited me to his house. I met with some other friends who have been Peace Corps in Sierra Leone. We started discussing issues, and he still speaks some of my local language, and Mike also does that. Even though it is broken, but I can really figure out what they are trying to say. They have to show me pictures of their life out there during the Peace Corps years. And it was very much interesting. They had to cook the native food for me that they used to cook back home. So my uncle encouraged me to really stay in Alaska, and he decided to move. And I said, I don't think I'm going to move again. I think Alaska is home away from home. So I decided to stay, and unfortunately I'm working with the state. And life has been challenging but very good. And I've been able to meet a lot of interesting people. So running into Mike and his wife, they've been able to bring us together to share our stories. And I have other few guys who have been able to join me in Alaska, even though it has been a challenge to get them here. But on the whole, regardless of the weather condition, things are going good. And I also have my younger brother here who is just from New Jersey. He studied in one of these pastoral colleges in New Jersey, and I was able to persuade him to come and join me in Alaska. So he's here, and we're looking forward to the storytelling tonight, which will be at the Northern Lights Church at 7 p.m. So for now, we'll stop there, and then we'll continue.
Well, thank you for sharing, Peter. So the Civil War, correct me if I'm wrong, was about 91 to 2002?
Yeah, the Civil War started. Because one thing I noticed about the African history and the issues in Africa is, like, we have this issue they call the ripple effect. So the Ripple War started in Liberia, which is our neighbor. So from Liberia, the Ripple sponsored another disgruntled leader called Foday Sankoh, and the Ripple War spilled over to my country, which is Sierra Leone. So that Ripple War was described by the United Nations as one of the most brutal civil wars they've ever experienced. And it went on to a very large extent, wherein a lot of people were displaced, more than a million people were displaced. They've moved to neighboring countries like Guinea and Liberia, even though Liberia was not too stable. And the United Nations has to intervene. The United Nations, the Economic Community of West African States, which is like the sub-region in Africa, they have the military power to intervene. They help, and the British help. And finally, with the peace accord signed in Abidjan, they were able to bring the rebel war to an end. But the devastation, the people who were amputated, the people who lost their homes, people who lost their families are still struggling. And like, I lost one of my grandpa who was a paramount chief, and I was a very small guy when my dad asked me to join them for the burial wherein he was beheaded. Mm. And we could not find his head during that burial ceremony. So, and I was very, very close to him when I was growing up. So the rebel war really left a very serious negative impact on the people of Sierra Leone, which they are still struggling. And the political climate has been very much very similar to peaceful democratic system, but the lack of human resources in the country, regardless of the minerals the country have and regardless of the natural endowment, this lack of human resources to manage the resources effectively and efficiently in terms of the wealth distribution is what is really affecting that particular beautiful nation of ours. So with hope and prayer, our experiences we're gaining here one day will help us to go back and try to see how we can move that country to some positive light.
Well, I have a million more questions, and I bet our listeners do too. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot more time, but people can come and see you and meet you and ask those questions tonight, right? Northern Light United Church?
Yep, 7 o'clock tonight. And, yeah, there's no admission. We'll take any donations that if people want to for the speakers' families, but it's an open event for everybody. And I guess I should say that, I mean, he's already kind of highlighted some things, but if he, I'm not sure if it would be appropriate for little kids. I guess it's how much you want your kids to hear about what happens in the real world.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Nice, good disclaimer.
Yeah.
As Mike rightly said, we're really going to be very much careful with what's the negative things that we witness and to modify them in telling the stories, which is very much horrific. But that's not the picture we want to create. So we just want to make sure to share the message of hope and in the midst of hopelessness. So everything is not lost. People have gone through situations that are worse than that. But we just want people to see it from the perspective of the way people can go through stuff like that and still become very much strong and have a positive outlook in their lives.
Peter Baker, thank you for your time. And thank you, Mark Stoffa, for coming on the show tonight. Again, that's a storytelling event tonight about Sierra Leone at Northern Light United Church, 7 p.m. Did we get everything?
Yep, that's great.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Tell me a story of days gone by. I want to leave this life of mine. Nothing, sorrow and pain I find. Tell me a story of days gone by. Tell me of princes, jesters and kings, town fools, crown jewels, scepters and rings, goodies and little girls lost in the wood. Tell me of axes, tell me of war, tell me a story of days. Under the waves, it is hope. earth beat, bread and battle for honor and glory. Tell me a story, oh, tell me a story. Tell me a story of days gone by.
To KRNN for live broadcast from the 41st Annual Alaska Folk Festival taking place at Centennial Hall April 6th through April 12th. Support for this broadcast comes from True North Federal Credit Union, offering credit union membership to all Juneau residents, and from the Alaskan Brewing Company, offering locally crafted beer in a newly designed taproom at the brewery.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. It's about 21 minutes after the hour, and I've been joined here in the studio by Dawn Colton. She is directing Shakespeare's As You Like It out at Floyd Dryden. Welcome, Dawn.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself and how this play came to be.
Okay, about myself, I've been living in Juneau for about 9 years. I've been involved in theater the whole time. I actually came here to get my master's of teaching in theater, and I was hosted by Bethany Behrman for a year at JDHS, and then she recommended me to people in town, so I've continued to direct plays with young people. And for the past, this will be my third year with Floyd Dryden Middle School and Missouri Smythe, and we directed Oliver and then West Side Story, and then this year we wanted to, just the kids were ready for more of a challenge, and so we brought in Shakespeare, but we couldn't take away the music, so we are actually turning it into a musical. But there is songs already written into the script, but Missouri has found a wonderful composer that she is using for the music with permission.
Okay, sounds like fun. How big is the cast?
The cast has about 21 kids in it.
All right, and all sixth, seventh, and eighth graders?
Yep.
Okay, and you said that you had auditions. How did those go?
Though The auditions were great. The returning kids sort of knew what to expect, except with the added element of Shakespeare. I think some kids were more scared and some were more curious, and some kids already really liked Shakespeare. So this time around, we did a little bit more reading than we normally do at auditions.
And when were those?
The auditions were in...
Give or take.
I think the end of December.
Okay. So have you been working on the play ever since?
Yes.
Wow. What have been some of the joys for you as you've gone along?
Okay, one joy that will stick out. So this play is about four different couples and actually what love is. And one of the joys for me is watching middle schoolers explore what love is and really with their whole heart about it, staying open about it. That's been a joy, and also a joy watching them get deeper meanings of the script every time we do it and listening to each other and their own lines going, okay, what about this? I never thought of it this way.
Cool. How about challenges? For both you and the cast.
Challenges. The challenges, I think a challenge would be that we did not want to do a middle school version, so we actually are doing the Royal Shakespeare version. We didn't want to dumb it down, I guess I would call it. But that has not been the challenge. The challenge is the play is actually about 2.5 hours long. So the challenge has been that is way too long of a to ask sort of an audience, I think, to sit maybe or expect. So we made little cuts, and the kids, we all made them together. I feel pretty strong about the cuts. So that was a challenge because you don't ever want to take away anything at all as a director, and I'm sure the writer wouldn't want us to either.
Okay. So you say it's a play about love. Can you tell us a little bit about the plot, too, and the setting, stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, this play has some of the most famous lines that we don't really realize until we hear them. All the World's a Stage by Jacques is from this play. There's A Man Haunts the Forest. That is by a character named Rosalind, who actually dresses up as a man and goes into the woods. And she meets the man that she's in love with there, and she sort of, we could say tricks him, but I don't think we're playing it that way. She wants to see if he's really in love with her. And so she sort of utilizes that to her advantage, dressed as a man.
Okay. Can you give us the details and about when the performances will be?
Yeah, thank you. The details are there's a public performance on First Friday, April 3rd at 7 o'clock, Then we also have a performance on Saturday, April 4th at 2 o'clock and a 7 o'clock performance on April 4th on Saturday, and the performances are at the Thunder Mountain High School Theater.
Okay. If somebody wanted more information, where should they go?
If they want more information, they can contact... Well, I know that we can get tickets. You can get tickets at from cast members at the door or Rainy Retreat Books. Okay. And then Missouri Smythe is the musical director, and she's also the choir and orchestra teacher at Floyd Dryden.
Okay, so maybe call Floyd Dryden. They have some more information,
I think,
maybe?
Yeah, if you had a question, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, Dawn. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'd like to add that the kids are starting a tradition of... With myself in Missouri, I think, but especially the kids, of presenting high-quality work. Last night we went over the actor equity rules of conduct and behavior, and being it's really important to present professional work and to be able to present themselves if they worked with an adult and be able to hold their own and just give their best possible performance.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Well, Dawn, thank you again.
Thank you.
A bearded old bum. He sold trinkets and trifles, and he lived in a flop house till the end of his days. He'd been on the stage, had once been an actor, but now he sold flowers or gave them away. Just a ragged old man and his ragged old doggy, ragged old life in a ragged old world. Now a lady took a picture to use in a contest of him and his doggy, and it won the first prize. His dog's name was Rag, so she went to find them. By the time that she found them, the old man had died. Just a ragged old man and his ragged old dog. Ragged old life in a ragged old world. Just a ragged old man and his ragged old doggy. Ragged old life in a ragged old of his eyes were always so gentle, although he was poor, he'd always know rags by the ribbons he wore. Just a ragged old man and his ragged old dog. In a ragged old world, just a ragged old man and his ragged old doggy, a ragged old life in a ragged old world. name up in lights. That's a long way to slide. These trinkets and flowers may buy back his pride, but I don't think these things should offend me or you. This world is a stage. All actors too. Just a ragged old man and his ragged old doggy. A ragged old life in a ragged old world.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. It's about 30 minutes until the top of the hour.
The Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is a welcoming congregation embracing many different beliefs and invites the community to join them on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Temple Sukkot Shalom on Cordova Street in Douglas. More information is at juuf.org. This message brought to you by the Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 31st of March, 2015. It was on this day, 1930, the Motion Picture Production Code was put into effect. It was known as the Hays Code, after the Hollywood censor Will Hays. Guidelines for the depiction of sex, violence, crime, and religion in American movies. A list of 36 don'ts and be carefuls. It was made obligatory in 1934, and from then until 1968, films had to pass the production code in order to be released. The Supreme Court had ruled in 1915 that the First Amendment right to free speech did not extend to movies, so the film industry was nervous about government regulation, and they adopted the Hays Code, which said that crime must be punished. Criminals should not be presented as sympathetic characters. Pre- or extramarital sex must never be portrayed in a positive light. Authority figures must be portrayed with respect. The church and the clergy must not be laughable or villainous. And showing drug use and interracial romance were outlawed. The Hays Code was the reason Ingrid Bergman got on the plane in Casablanca instead of Living in Sin with Humphrey Bogart. But in the 50s, a number of movies defied the Hays Code, such as Billy Wilder's Some Like It Hot, and the production code gradually faded away. It was on this day, 1951, the Remington Rand Corporation signed a contract to deliver the first UNIVAC computer to the U.S. Census Bureau. UNIVAC stood for Universal Automatic Computer. It was the first American commercial computer. After the Census Bureau, the Air Force bought one, the Army Map Service, the Atomic Energy Commission, and the Navy, and then General Electric, and then Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. And it's the birthday of the Ukrainian-born Russian humorist and novelist Nikolai Gogol, born in the Cossack village of Soroshinsky in 1809. Wrote stories of his childhood memories of Ukraine in a book called Evenings on a Farm near Dikhonky. Came out in 1831. It was a big sensation. In 1836, he wrote a play, The Inspector General. Gogol was disappointed, felt the play was misunderstood, spent most of the next 6 years in Europe, where he produced his most famous work, Dead Souls, in 1842. Here's a poem for today by Lawrence Ferlinghetti, The Cat. The cat licks its paw and lies down in the bookshelf nook. She can lie in a sphinx position without moving for so many hours and then turn her head to me and rise and stretch and turn her back to me and lick her paw again, as if no real time had passed. It hasn't, and she is the Sphinx, with all the time in the world, in the desert of her time. The cat knows where flies die, sees ghosts in motes of air, and shadows in sunbeams. She hears the music of the spheres, and the hum in the wires of houses, and the hum of the universe in interstellar spaces, but prefers domestic places and the hum of the heater. The Cat, by Lawrence Ferlinghetti, from These Are My Rivers, published by New Directions, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Progressive Insurance with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen, and by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from the City and Borough of Juneau Public Works Department, informing residents that the recycling center will be closed Thursday, April 2nd through Wednesday, April 8th. The recycling center will reopen Thursday, April 9th.
And you're listening to Juneau Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. It's about 20 minutes until the top of the hour. And now joining me in the studio is the crew from Gastineau Elementary's Service Learning Club concert, Deb Wessler. Welcome, Deb.
Spencer.
Deb Spencer, sorry.
I'm sorry. We've only known each other a little while.
Yeah, right. And Gavin, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here. And Teddy, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us in the studio today. Hey, Deb, let's start with you. Give us a little outline of what's going on.
Great, Scott. Thank you. So we've been meeting really since about winter break for a service learning class, and the students have gotten together to think about how we could help our community and how we could help people who need some extra support. And so really that's where this project has come from their own input and their ideas.
Okay, and what's your position over at Gastineau?
I'm the counselor there.
Okay. And so tell us about some of the people that are involved in this concert.
Well, the concert that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we have some kids who would like to tell you about those people.
All right. You want to start over there, Teddy?
We have Piper and Justin Powell. They are the parents of one of our fourth grade students. Andy Ferguson and Jack Fontenelle. Mr. Ferguson is the father of one of our first graders, and Mr. Fontenelle is a teacher from Harborview. Donkey Kong, Patrick Murphy's band. Patrick Murphy is one of our music teacher, and he is playing with his band Donkey Kong.
Okay. Sounds like some very cool people involved in this. Some fine musicians I heard some names of there. Teddy, tell me about how you're participating in this. What's your job?
Me and a couple other students were making ideas for this, and I made a idea for a cancer thing, and then he made an idea for a concert, and then those two ideas were voted the most, and so we put them together.
Okay, so you're like a coordinator. That sound right?
Yeah.
Like that? Okay. And Gavin, how about you? How are you participating? What's your job in all of this?
Pretty much the same job as him.
Okay. All right.
Okay, yeah. And is it okay, Gavin, if I tell some of the things that you've been working on?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So Gavin did a really great job calling and inviting our musicians.
Okay.
And so he made those phone calls, and which can be kind of a scary thing when you're in third grade and calling an adult that you've never met before. And so that was pretty neat. And he did such a great job. At the end of one conversation, he said, "Could I call someone else?" So he was able to, yeah.
Okay, and when is the concert going to be?
Would somebody like to answer that question?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday at Justin School.
Okay. As in tonight?
In April.
Probably Thursday. Oh, in April.
It's on Thursday the 2nd.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't say April.
Oh, no. This says Thursday, yeah.
All right, Kevin. Thank you for sharing. And Deb, fill in some more little details about this.
So we have, one of the ideas that came up in our discussion, we had all kinds of, the really fun part about this was thinking about how we were going to raise money. And we had ideas from carnivals and bouncy houses and concerts and all kinds of really great energetic ideas. But one of the ideas that came up was to invite kids to wear their, what guys?
Pajamas.
Roger that. Pajamas to the concert, because it's going to be in the evening, and we thought it would be really fun to have all these younger kids show up in their pajamas and then just be ready for bed. They could go home and brush their teeth and be ready to go to bed.
Less transitions.
Roger. Yep.
I love it. hey, Teddy, what's been the best part about this for you, or the most fulfilling, the funnest part of this?
Being able to sit down and really think and feel good about what you're doing and helping with people.
Oh, cool. Good answer. Gavin, how about you? What's been the funnest part for you?
I don't really know.
Okay. Well, think about it. If you come up with an answer, let me know. So this is 6:30.
Yes.
On Thursday, April
2nd.
April 2nd. Did I get that right, Gavin?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And one thing I'd like to add is that it's not just limited to Gastineau students, so we would love families from other schools, if they would like to attend, to come join us. And we've got some fine musicians who will be performing, and it should be a really good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are we missing, Deb? Any more questions I should ask these young gentlemen?
Well, I think one thing we haven't covered is that all of these musicians are part of our Gastineau school family. So I think Teddy did mention that, but just to kind of say, yeah, that they all are connected to our school. And, I know what we didn't cover, guys. Where is this money actually going to go? Did we say exactly
to
where?
To a cancer center.
The Cancer Connection, which is a local nonprofit that helps families with a member who has cancer with travel.
Are we trying to say how many dollars it is to get in?
Oh, that's a really good point. Do you remember, Gavin?
I think $5 a family.
Well, and that would be a really good donation. We're leaving that up to families to decide. So if $5 feels like the right amount to donate, that's great. If you can donate more, it's going to a really good cause. So we'd encourage that, too.
Okay. Teddy or Gavin, are we missing anything? Anything you'd like to add? Think we got it, Deb?
Okay. Great. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Gavin, Teddy, Deb, Spencer. Thank you very much for coming into the show today. It was great to talk to the three of you. Thank you for doing this wonderful concert that benefits such a great cause. And have a lot of fun as well. Here is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. When a perched male ruby-throated hummingbird raises its head toward the sun at just the right angle, its throat glitters like a crimson spotlight. When it turns its head slightly, the bird's throat no longer gleams. It appears colorless, dark. A hummingbird's brilliant throat feathers are called its gorget. The term comes from days of old, when a knight in armor wore a metallic collar, or gorget, to protect his throat. The hummingbird's intense glint is the result of iridescence rather than colored pigments. The bird's throat feathers contain minutely thin, film-like layers of platelets, set like tiles in a mosaic against a darker background. Light waves reflect and refract off the mosaic, creating color in the manner of sun glinting off a film of oil on water. Listen to this male Anna's hummingbird putting his glitter to work. There he goes, diving in display toward the female. He plunges downward almost vertically, achieving tremendous speed. Then he levels off and heads straight into the sun, which makes his gorget glow with iridescent brilliance, like a tiny knight in shining armor. You can see a photo of a hummingbird's gorget at birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
And you're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. It's about 15 minutes till the top of the hour. And the Marie Drake Planetarium, Steve Kosas, is now in the studio. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, nice to have you here. So I like the name. Is it Tonight's Show?
Yes.
Strange, strange stuff. I wish I had some music to, like, play under that. I don't know.
Soundgarden, Black Hole Sun. Yeah, usually in astronomy textbooks, turns out to be Chapter 14 covers the exotic material of the universe. White dwarfs, neutron stars, quark stars, magnetars, black holes. So that's what we're going to cover tonight. And then after that lecture's over, we're going to use the star globe to look at the stars. And there's a lunar eclipse this Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Total lunar eclipse.
Wow. Hopefully we won't have any clouds.
Who knows?
We never know, do we?
Sure.
Here in Juno.
And so I'll be talking about the lunar eclipse, too, at the show.
Well, and good thing you have the Spritz projector, because it's always cloudless in there, right?
Made in Pennsylvania.
Very cool. Old projector.
Exactly. Analog, mechanical, optical.
Do you ever give tours and show people the projector up close? And
yeah, usually when we set it up, people are quite interested, you know, because it has all the lenses and has the globe. It's precision drilled for the, oh, it displays about 1,000 stars.
Very cool. Will you be giving the presentation tonight yourself?
Yes, I will.
And of all of these odd fellows that you mentioned, white dwarfs, neutron stars, black holes, gamma ray, is it a gamma ray buster?
Burster.
Burster.
Well,
I love that.
Well, it could be buster.
I like burster better.
Yeah.
Give us a highlight from maybe one of them.
Well, white dwarfs will be the end result of our own sun. Our own sun will be stable for another 5 billion years. Then it'll go into a red giant phase that'll engulf our planet. And then it'll explode into a planetary nebula, and the remaining material will be a white dwarf. And a white dwarf is what's called degenerate matter. It's matter that's squeezed down. So a mass the size of our sun will end up about the size of a city, about 20 kilometers in diameter, but it'll be incredibly dense. So a sugar cube of a white dwarf will weigh a couple thousand tons.
Wow. Remind me, I've asked you before, how you got interested in all this.
Oh, when I was a teenager, I started going to the planetarium where I live, Medford, Oregon, and built an 8-inch reflector, and I started giving lectures at the planetarium in Medford, which is actually the same model as our planetarium here in Juneau. It seemed like in the 60s, quite a few cities put in planetariums for, I guess we call it now, STEM, mm-hmm. for science education.
And are you one of those folks that likes to travel to different planetariums and different places in the world to go look at stars?
Well, yes, and also to go look at total solar eclipses. I'm just looking at going to Indonesia next March 9th, 2016, for a total solar eclipse.
Wow.
So I've been to 7. This will be my 8th total solar eclipse if I make it to Indonesia next March.
And these are a big deal. You are among a cult. Is a cult the right word? Or a bunch of interested people in total solar eclipses?
It's a passion. I've met people who've seen 29 total solar eclipses, so 8 really isn't a big number among the group that follow them.
What's the draw?
Well, just the whole experience. A total solar eclipse, it's the most awesome celestial spectacle you can see on our planet, and it's definitely, it could be life-changing to see one.
I've read about them, but I've never been there in person.
Well, August 2017 is going to be one over mainland USA. It's going to hit Oregon, and Max Eclipse will be in Kentucky. I think it's mid-August 2017.
Okay.
So the last time there was one over mainland USA was 79. So,
but in the meantime, folks can come to the Murray Drake Planetarium tonight, right?
Yeah, tonight we always get the most questions about white dwarfs, neutron stars, black holes, degenerate matter, gamma ray bursters, the Big Bang. So we thought we'd cover that. And so it'll be somewhat, it's for all ages, but the talk will be a little more technical than our usual talks. But I'll be there to answer any questions people have. And we'll also cover the lunar eclipse that's going to happen early Saturday morning that will be visible. The whole eclipse will be visible here in Juneau if we do have clear skies, as we know.
And remind us of the time.
It'll be 6 p.m. tonight, and it'll probably go to around 7:30 at the planetarium.
And admission?
Free. All ages are invited. And so tell your friends.
And for more information?
We have a website, mariedrakeplanetarium.org, or you can call me at 500-2941.
I know it's probably not related to a gamma ray burster, but I picked this song because of that word, gamma ray burster. Steve, is there anything else you want to add?
No, that covers it, and everyone's welcome to come. We hope to see you tonight.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Bye. Thanks, Scott.
Wrapped up the on-air portion of the spring membership campaign this Saturday. Thanks to everyone who contributed this past week and in the weeks leading up to it. And, of course, thank you goes to all of our sustaining members who are always members in good standing. For those of you we missed this week, it's not too late. Just go to ktoo.org and make your contribution there. Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to A Juno Afternoon today. Tomorrow on A Juno Afternoon, Jeff Brown will be your host. We'll get a preview of this month's Wildlife Wednesday presentation by Riley Woodford, Small Mammals in Southeast Alaska. We'll get an update on activities at the Zach Gordon Youth Center with Donnie Burras. We'll talk with the world's only stand-up economist, Yoram Bauman, here to speak before the Juno World Affairs Council this Wednesday on comedy, economics, and carbon tax. We'll get a preview of Ryan Peterson's new film, Stories and Science of Our Transboundary Rivers. And April's First Friday, artist Mitch Watley will be here to discuss his work, That Writer's Almanac, Birdnote Music, and more, Wednesday at 3 on KTOO News Juno. And as always, if you missed the show live at 3, it's also available at 4 on KRNN and online at ktoo.org. Tonight, numerous rain showers, lows around 37, southeast wind 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, numerous rain showers, highs around 44, southeast wind 10 miles per hour. Thursday, rain, highs around 41, southeast wind 10 miles per hour. And Friday through Saturday night, mostly cloudy, highs around 43, lows around 34. And it is currently 43 degrees at the Juneau Airport. Thank you for tuning in.